Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing some things like Florence Pugh sharing a video from behind the scenes and maybe getting in trouble. X-Men 97 has been greenlit for season 3 before season 2 has even come out, before season 1 has even finished coming out. And then some feedback. All that and more right after this.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
Jeff.
I tried to follow your vibe.
You did. You really matched my energy, and I do appreciate that. I do. My energy is a little weird right now. I spent way too long today in a hospital. Just like ridiculously long time. Everyone's fine. Nothing bad happened. My mom had to have a heart cath today.
Catheter.
They like send a tube to the heart to check out things. It's purely like just a test. It was nothing
exploratory.
Yeah, it is.
This is a heart.
That's right, look, it's a heart. She's healthy. Everything's good. But like,
did you make jokes at her? Like, oh, I did not know that you actually had one of these.
I would never. Not with my mom.
Oh, okay.
If you've met my mom, you know she has a heart. She's the sweetest.
She is very sweet.
Don't talk ill of her, Jeff.
How dare you?
But no, we get there. So I've never had a heart cath. I've never been to a heart cath. And so I asked the nurse, how long is it going to be so I could plan my day around it? She said about 2 to 3 hours. We were there almost 12 hours after it was all said and done. Like, it's one thing, you know, I understand. It's a medical procedure. It can go long. Things can get pushed around. But that is just a long, long time.
That is excessive.
Yeah. And like, the thing is, when she got out of the procedure, they were like, I was like, okay, she's finally back. I guess we'll leave soon. They brought her back, and they were like, she has to stay horizontal in this bed for 2 hours. I was like, that's how long you said the procedure was. Like, what? Who told me that? Who in the office told me that? I think they meant, like, the actual time the doctor was in the room with her to do the procedure. Like, I don't think they meant at all what I was asking, which is, like, I'm trying to plan my day. How long am I going to be in the hospital? And they told me 2 hours. It was 12. I was like, what is going on?
And you had texted me at one point that, like, they started 5 hours late.
Yeah, that's really what the main, like,
that's still obscene though. 7 hours on,
exactly, even if they hadn't been 5 hours late, it would have been 7 hours. Like, it's just crazy. So yeah, it was a long day, and I didn't bring enough to do because I thought I was going to be there for 2 hours. And I was just sitting in the hospital, like, what am I? I gotta. And I kept thinking they didn't give me enough heads up that anything. Like, I kept thinking it wouldn't take much longer, so I didn't leave. Or like, she was like asleep in the bed. I could have like gone home and gotten some work done or something. But like, I'm just sitting in this hospital room for so long. Anyway, so I just feel like I have a weird energy. We were supposed to record this like 12 hours ago. a lot of hours ago. So I'm kind of being that doctor right now by, we were supposed to record this a long time ago. But yeah.
We are very behind here.
We are indeed very behind here. But let's talk about some Marvel. We're going to keep it short because we're recording at 10 o'clock in the, or 11 o'clock in the evening for me instead of, you know, 1 o'clock this afternoon. And so I've got to still stay up and edit this thing. So let's talk about this news we got. So Florence Pugh.
So Florence Pugh, right?
Florence Pugh put out a very cute little video.
Gosh, she's cute as a freaking button.
So, so cute. And like, kind of looking fire. She posted a video where she's fully dressed in her new Black Widow getup, and she's
her Yelena garb.
Yes, her Yelena garb. And she's walking around the set of Thunderbolts, showing off the movie set and like showing off the people directing it. There's even like a shot
behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, there's even a shot of the person working in Final Cut Pro, so you can like see the editing that's going on inside the software, so you can actually see a still frame that is probably from the movie. It is pretty cool, and she's wearing a very different outfit than she wore in Black Widow and other things we've seen, so that was cool. Yeah.
And I like the blue under her
that,
eyes.
I was going to
like
bring that makeup. Up. Yeah, I really,
it's really cool.
The blue, she's got like blue eyeshadow under her eyes. It's really, really cool. Nothing is really learned. She shows off a few sets. One looks like an elevator, maybe,
or like a missile silo.
Oh yeah, that's probably it. That's probably it. I like that. So there's like that, and then there's also some sort of wooden structure that I couldn't really tell what it was.
I think that was the outside of a contained set.
Oh.
Yeah, like they built a set and that was the view from the outside, I think. Because she said, what's in there?
There was another part where she sort of leaned in and said, like, I can show you what's in there. No, I can't show you what's in there. Like it was, she was being very cute and very coy about the movie set for Thunderbolts. It was a fun time. Fun to see some actual like hype train building towards Thunderbolts.
Woo woo! Man, the starting what tomorrow in Marvel Snap is the Thunderbolts season, and like the Baron Zemo card is the like season pass card.
Are we getting that so early because the movie was moved back?
I don't know.
Okay,
I honestly have no idea. But
they do tend to do those along with the movie as they come out. But I remember. Originally, Thunderbolts was supposed to be like May of this year. That was supposed to be Brave New World. I don't know. They've all moved around so many times. I can't remember what was where.
Yeah. But, I mean, what, this season we've got Baron Zemo and Red Hulk and White Widow and U.S. Agent.
Red Hulk, and you say?
Yeah, boy!
That seems to align with the theory that we have spoken about many times. That Red Hulk may appear in Thunderbolts.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. That is the most interesting thing you've ever said, Jeff.
Ever?
Oh, I meant in this conversation. Sorry.
Because I was like, we've got like 10 years nope, of...
that was it. That was the moment.
That was the one.
Lock it in.
Wow.
We'll never exceed this moment.
Might as well just end it here.
Oh man!
Go out while you're on top, right?
That's right. That's right. But that is a very interesting little tidbit, because I think we've all been speculating that Red Hulk might appear in Brave New World, but we've speculated that some version of Hulk might show up because there's sort of that missing component of an Avengers style team.
Well, and General Ross,
right,
is in there. And
is he in Thunderbolts? I knew he was in Brave New World.
No, I'm in Brave New World. Sorry.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So we've all been speculating he might become Red Hulk, but being in Thunderbolts we didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Which is, we still don't, but like that him.
We're still not sure.
Him appearing in that video game feels pretty conclusive.
Well,
to me.
He was a member of the Thunderbolts in comics.
Sure, so. But when they're putting out those games, oftentimes they will align the teams with exactly, a lot of times they're literally the same costumes from the movies when they put out like the new cards and stuff. I remember playing various games like that where like then whatever the season is aligns with whatever is going on in the movies.
Yeah, the Miss Marvel card came out around the same time as the Marvels.
Yeah.
The show, movie. It's a really solid card, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's real good.
I have not. I gave it up because I just got. I was just playing too much. Got
tired of the chase?
No, I didn't get tired of it. I do. The whole thing with video games for me is that I play them. I enjoy them, like phone games particularly.
Yeah.
I play, and Snap was great because it actually felt like a game. Like it felt like a game I was playing against other people. Like an actual, it is an actual strategy game. So it is cool. I like Snap. Much more than I like the other games I play that are like, let's destroy all the bricks with the ball or whatever, you know?
Sure.
Which is what I played in the hospital for like 10 hours today.
Oh man,
it was terrible.
Brick breaker.
Brick breaker for 10 hours in the hospital today. And my brain was like, dopamine, 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 dopamine. But like, it's just a cheap fuel, you know?
Yeah. It's not worth it. It's not lasting.
No. But I got through a lot of levels of brick breaker today. So feels so accomplished.
I don't know that you should.
No, I shouldn't. But that is, I always have to delete games from my phone when that happens. Like I eat up a day of like just the dopamine hit of whatever the game is. And I'm like, okay, I can't play this game anymore. It has to go.
Yep. Yep. I mean, this season, this past month season has been awesome with Avengers versus X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Has been so good. Such good cards came out this month.
That's cool.
Yeah, but yeah, Red Hulk coming up. Also, Val. Val's going to be in the game.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm really curious to see what her power set is like in the game. It's cool.
It's basically add a random 6 cost card to your hand. It has -2 cost and -3 power.
Interesting. Huh. That's really interesting. Like, yeah. Like it's so funny to sit here and like
analyze speculate on what's coming in the MCU.
Right, like what's coming in the MCU because of the way that card works. But it does, like, you know, obviously I feel like the she's a recruiter, so the fact that you bring a card into your hand and it becomes less costly, that makes sense completely.
Yeah, because, you know, the government is sponsoring the Thunderbolts, right?
But reducing the power...
You got to dial it back a little bit when you're working with us.
Right. Or
be more controlled.
Or will they have them on a leash of sorts, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, like it starts to really make me think, like, what does that mean? Okay, that was not our... This was not on our docket of news, but I think, again, this is the most interesting thing you've ever said, so I feel like this is the height of what we're going to talk about today, so let's dig in. What else we got? What else we got? What are the other powers? Is this too bad? Is this too nerdy? Is this too... game,
whatever, no, this is great.
Game focused. So,
Baron Zemo.
Give me any interesting ones here.
Like, I don't know. Baron Zemo.
If Red Hulk just is strong, I don't care.
But well, like, his thing is like if he's in your hand or in play, and your opponent ends their turn with energy left over, he gets +4 power.
So he absorbs energy.
He absorbs their energy every turn that he's out.
Interesting. So,
+4, +4, you know, if they haven't spent it.
Whoa, that's a good card.
Yeah. It is a really, like, it's really, really exciting.
And I'm assuming that will be expressed in the movie. Again, like, I'm assuming that, I know that is a thing from Red Hulk, that he absorbs energy, right? But, like...
Yep, he absorbs power and gets stronger. Absorbs energy and gets stronger.
Right. Depending on the canon, sometimes they'll, like, fudge those things. Like, he won't be exactly like he's in the comics or whatever, but that sounds like they're gonna... if the card game means what I think it means, I think they're gonna do that in the movie. I'm just assuming, for the sake of this podcast... That's what's going on. So what else we got? Who else we got?
Baron Zemo is going to be the season pass card. When you play him, he recruits the lowest cost card from your opponent's deck onto your side where he is played.
Okay. All right.
And
recruits the lowest cost card. I guess like he's like good at luring away henchmen sort of thing.
Yeah, I think that's what they're going for.
Okay.
Is because he's a master manipulator.
Right. That's true. And like, yeah, he could even sort of get, you know, Tony to fight for him. So he could get someone else to fight for him. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
And then White Widow is... Do you have Black Widow? Do you know how she gives the Widow's Bite?
Vaguely, yeah. It's been a while.
For Black Widow, she puts the Widow's Bite into your opponent's hand. They can't draw a card while it's in the hand, and it's a 0 cost, like -1 power. White Widow puts Widow's Kiss onto their side of the battlefield, and until they fill up their side of that location... It has -4 power.
Okay.
So like it's an ongoing, this has minus four power, and disable that effect when they fill it up. So it basically just puts a dead card, like a zero cost or a zero power dead card into a full lane on their side, you know, kind of
okay.
Locks their power down.
Gotcha.
Or gives them a negative four.
Okay, cool.
And then let's see, the other one, who did I say? US Agent is kind of the crappiest one.
Mm-hmm. As you should be.
Yeah. he's got an ongoing that is 4, 5, and 6 cost cards here have minus three power.
Okay. So he brings down the power level of the bigger hitters.
Yeah. He reduces the power of the powerful things around him.
Hmm.
He makes them suck by just existing.
Exactly. Like he really like brings down the like the property. You're really values.
Bringing down the vibe here.
Yeah.
U.S. agent.
Yeah. There goes the neighborhood. Yeah. Like type thing. U.S. agent moves in. You're like, oh, do any of us want to be here anymore? I don't know, man. I don't know about this.
I can't even sell my house because the value's gone down so much.
Because U.S. agent is here.
U.S. agent okay. Showed up and my house is upside down.
Well, those,
upside down.
That's a lot of fun and a silly thing to speculate about. We should do that again in the future. That was fun. back to our actual news stories that we have here.
Oh, yeah.
X-Men 97 was greenlit for a season 3? What is already happening?
what's happening is it's a great series.
Yeah. And I have a feeling that Marvel is... rightfully so. The show has been great, and people are liking it, and I'm hearing nothing but positive things in the community.
Yep.
But I also think that some of its success, if it's having great success in the like viewing numbers and such, some of its success is due to the fact that there's nothing else for a while, and so it is our Marvel thing that is happening right now.
Yeah, we're clamoring for something Marvel-related.
Yeah.
And we'll take anything.
I wonder what lessons they'll learn from that. Like, well, we don't have to make live action shows. They'll eat up the animated stuff if it's good, you know?
If it's good, yeah.
Exactly. Like, and I don't mind that lesson. Like, if they need to back off one, like, at least make some more of the other.
I mean, that's the thing that I feel like they've been learning over and over again. Like, we'll take anything as long as it's good.
Yeah.
Like, yep. we'll eat it up if it's a good property. Like, if it's a good story, we will all eat it up.
Mm-hmm.
There's not, like, it's not superhero fatigue. We're not, like, Marvel fatigued right now.
Yeah.
That's not what it is. We're bad story fatigued.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're hastily produced story fatigued.
Yeah. I feel like that's even more it. Like, and I've said this many times in the podcast, but, like, for 10 years I've been saying this, one of my biggest pet peeves is like a story that they spent tons of money and time and effort making and just didn't think through some of the basics. And I feel like that's some of the stuff we've been getting a lot of these last few years. It's like Secret Invasion has everything in the world going for it.
Yeah, but and then they just did not stick the landing.
Basic story stuff is just like poorly done. The fact that Gravik never gets an interaction, a real interaction with Nick Fury, is like a complete travesty to like the heart of that show.
And both of those characters, really.
Yeah, that we needed to see that. He needed to have that interaction. Like, his chickens needed to come home to roost, you know, like it needed to happen, and it just doesn't happen. He just kind of gets away scot-free and never has to face up to the problems he's caused. Like it asks all these interesting questions and then just drops the ball. Sorry, I'll stop talking about Secret Invasion. I'm just going to get angry.
And you wouldn't like Matt when he's angry.
That's right. That's right. And I can't afford to get angry right now. I've said this so many times to my family, but I gotta stop talking about Secret Invasion this close to bedtime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you'll stay up all night, Matt.
I know, but you know what? I do have a ritual that I like to do when I get angry. and What's I that? Need to calm down, when I need to like really center myself,
yeah,
it's Beam's Dream Powder.
That's a good ritual.
That's right. That's right.
That's a delicious ritual.
It's a delicious ritual. It's a science-backed, healthy hot cocoa for sleep. Beam's Dream Powder. I really have a hard time just shifting gears and going to sleep. I really do. If I'm in a mood, I will just sit and like Overwatch TV and play Brick Breaker and just like stay up all night.
That's the main problem, is that Brick Breaker. The
Brick Breaker's really killing me right now. I gotta get rid of it. It's getting deleted tonight before I go to bed. Beam Dream Powder is a really wonderful, healthy hot cocoa. Backed by science, ready for you to get in bed. It's time to go to bed. You take your time, you sip on it. It's tasty. It's got tons of great flavors, and it just is warm in your tummy, and it just has all these great things to help you sleep. Other sleep aids can cause next day grogginess, but Dream contains a powerful all natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, melatonin, and nano CBD to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed.
The numbers don't lie. In a clinical study, 93% of participants reported Dream helped them get better sleep.
That's right. Crazy. And today, our listeners get a special discount on Beam's Dream Powder, their science-backed healthy hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. Better sleep has never tasted better.
So if you want to try Beam's best-selling Dream Powder, get up to 40% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/MCUpod and use the code MCUpod at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/MCUpod and use code MCUpod for up to 40% off. Thanks, Beam, for helping us sleep.
Thank you. Yeah. This nap brought to you by Beam. Okay, what do we got next in the news? We got a few more things.
So speaking of animated things.
Oh yeah.
Mr. Brad Winterbaum has confirmed that the series Eyes of Wakanda, that animated series, mm-hmm. is going to take place in the sacred timeline of the MCU.
Ooh. I think I had assumed that.
Yeah.
But
it's
sure.
nice to have confirmation.
And it's the first animated thing, if I'm not mistaken, that is absolutely in the timeline, right?
Right, because like, What If is, you know, in the multiverse or whatever. Right,
exactly.
And then X-Men 97 is like,
not.
Yeah, you know, it's part of a different canon, part of the multiverse somewhere. Hopefully they'll bring it in, I don't know. Yeah.
Oh man, What If?
No, X-Men 97.
No, hear me out. We've been talking about for years how What If our world that we have been following, the MCU, was Scarlet Witch's No More Mutants universe.
Yeah.
What if, right before we get to Secret Wars or whatever, the next few Avengers movies, we find out, like, that's how the series ends. Like, season 4 or 5 ends with her saying no more mutants, and everyone wakes up as part of the MCU. And that's how the, like, cartoon ended. And the actual cartoon versions are the real versions.
Oh, man. That would be silly.
It'd be so silly, but, like, kind of badass.
I don't know if they've got the setup for that, though. Because, like, they did the whole thing in at the end of Ms. Marvel, where like it looks like you have a genetic mutation.
Yeah, and then at the Marvels, it looks like it's that like the cartoon version of Beast.
Cartoon, like I loved that though. That was cartoon version as far as like physicality, mm-hmm. but it was also Kelsey Grammer,
right? The first class version.
Not first class. X3.
Oh, you're right. My bad. Not first class. That was Nicholas Holt, right?
Yeah, that was Nicholas Holt.
Yeah, which is so interesting to think back, because like, Nicholas Holt holds a completely different place in my mind now, because I feel like he's done a lot of big things since then.
Yeah, I always think of him as Tolkien, and I don't know why, because I haven't seen that movie.
Wait, who did he play?
He plays Tolkien, like J.R.R.
Tolkien? Oh, yeah. Interesting. I did not know he played J.R.R. Tolkien in something. I also haven't seen that movie. Clearly.
Oh, it's 2019, so that was before the world shut down. Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
We're too busy like living our lives things.
Yeah, before we back when we used to live out in the world.
Before we could go outside.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting about this Brad Winterbaum, you know, talking about Eyes of Wakanda. He has been making lots of news lately.
Oh yeah.
And his name is pretty big on the opening credits of X-Men. And like, I wonder if he's like Haley made a joke a couple weeks ago on Multiverse News. She was like, this Brad Winterbaum's really trying to make a name for himself. Cause he kept like kind of like saying little like interesting tidbits in interviews and like dripping these little interesting tidbits out that made it like, you know, really, really. And this is the next one, I guess, in that series. And then his name being all over, X-Men. After she said that, I was like, oh man, he is trying to make a name for himself. And then I started thinking of like Filoni, because Filoni made a name for himself in animation, you know what I mean? Like, sure. We all started to know him as the guy who did killer animation for Star Wars, and then later seems to be being handed the keys to the kingdom a little bit.
Okay.
And now I was like thinking about this guy, Brad Winterbaum, making a great X-Men show, and like how, like, maybe he sees himself a path, and he's like, I need people to know my name. Like, I need them to know I'm making this show.
Well, I mean, he's been a producer in the MCU since the Marvel one-shot The Consultant.
Sure.
Back in 2011.
Never heard of him until 2 weeks ago, and now I've heard his name constantly. That's my point. Like, maybe he's been a great producer. Maybe he's been somebody even that, like, Kevin Feige likes, and, like, he's been someone who could be a great producer on other things, and maybe, like, start to take some of the load off of Feige, but we need to trust him. And I wonder if they like it may. I'm really got conspiracy brained over Brad Winterbaum this week, because I was like, are they trying to Filoni him? Are they trying to make us trust him so that they can put him in a bigger role later, and we'll go, or even replace Feige one day? You know, but that's like a 20-year process. You gotta slow roll that. But first, you gotta like know his name, and then if we start seeing his name all over every like animated project, then they're all great. We'll be like, you know, he does know how to piece together a universe. Like, he's doing pretty great over there, just like we did with Filoni. And, like, you know, I think it's interesting.
I remember Brad Winterbaum's name being all over What If.
Okay. See, I just never heard, because we talked about him so much on Multiverse News for a few weeks, I then started seeing his name and being like, oh, there he is, there he is, there he is. So that's what made me wonder if, like, this was deliberate to like plant his name all over the internet to like drive the conversation towards him.
He's like, you know how I could do more? You know how I could really get into some big shoes? Mm-hmm. Start talking.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is, that was my initial thought, was just, it's him trying to make a name for himself while he's got a great property coming out, you know?
Sure. Well, I mean, he was an EP on Thor Ragnarok, Black Widow, Hawkeye, Moon Knight, Thor Love and Thunder. He was a producer. He was EP on Werewolf by Night, Director by Night, She-Hulk, the Guardians Holiday Special.
This is only adding to my theory, because it means he's someone who's been there a while. They clearly trust him. He's made a lot of stuff, and like now he's getting talked about every freaking, I don't know. It's just doing Multiverse News.
This guy's seeing the Young Avengers of the MCU, like, corporate side.
The Young MCU corporate, like, what's a good, we don't have a moniker. It's just Kevin Feige, basically.
Yeah, it's the K-E-V-I-N robot.
Yeah,
it has created a new one called the B-R-A-D robot.
Yeah, this is B-R-A-D is getting in there. This is all conspiracy brained, Matt. Sorry.
Don't apologize. This is great.
And maybe I'm just crazy. Maybe like everyone has been like noticing Brad Winterbaum this whole time, but I just don't remember hearing his name this much. And all of a sudden it's like on every article, he's the guy being quoted.
Sure. Sure. So, okay. Let's add some balance here. You have that conspiracy theory.
Okay.
I kind of have one too.
Okay. What's your conspiracy
theory? So it's my turn. Yeah. It's my turn. There was a news article recently that said that like Marvel reportedly still has plans for Brie Larson. And like, my knee-jerk response is like, no shit, of course they do. Like, Captain Marvel's a big deal. Regardless of who may or may not have liked the Marvels, like, yeah, she's a big deal.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
But after digging into that article a bit, it looks like one of her main roles upcoming is to decipher the true origin of the quantum bands. And she brings her bangle and Kamala's to Wong and Banner. And the last time we saw Wong and Banner together was talking about the Ten Rings.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And so now we have a bunch of circular objects that are apparently older than the freaking universe.
We got a bunch of bracelets, man.
We got a bunch of bracelets that are showing up, right?
It's the bracelet saga, people. It's the bracelet saga.
My thought is, the Ten Rings is not actually the Ten Rings that Shang-Chi has. That just counts as one. There's 10 rings that could have belonged to the Eternals. Not the Eternals. Bigger than the Eternals.
The Celestials?
The Celestials.
Yeah.
Celestial technology.
Sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
And the Celestial technology is what created mutants and the Inhumans and...
Yeah.
Well, we don't talk about them.
That is all comics accurate for sure. And so like that definitely could be the case.
This celestial technology is also what was used by Apocalypse to give Mr. Sinister his powers.
Okay, cool.
So Mr. Sinister could also have one of these bands or rings, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
One of these 10 rings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And originally, the 10 rings were ancient alien technology that the Mandarin discovered and like reverse engineered and figured out how to use, right? So what if they're doing that as like a big way to do a whole bunch of bad guys? That are like super powerful with old technology.
That does sound pretty fun. I do feel like if they did a bunch of bad guys, it would probably be burning up too many stories at once. Like, unless they introduce them in the next few movies, like, which is absolutely what they could do. Like, they could introduce, like, instead of this whole, like, let's have a villain in every movie and then a bigger villain in an Avengers movie, it would be kind of great if they introduced a bunch of villains, didn't kill them after one appearance, and then like let them all form sort of a Sinister Six of sorts and let them do their thing.
Sinister 10.
Yeah, Sinister
10. But no, 10. We've already got three of them.
Who are they?
Right? Yeah, we've like the heroes already have three of the 10 ring-like objects.
You're saying there's 10 more?
No, not 10 more. Just like
7 more beyond the 12 we have?
Yes.
Okay. The 10 rings are 1.
The rings that Shang-Chi has counts as 1.
Okay. I feel like that is a terrible idea. It's a good idea. Okay, Jeff, this is the worst thing you've ever said on the podcast.
Man, this is a great episode. Perfectly balanced. As all things should be.
It's like, yes, the idea of having a group of villains I like. But
not like this.
But having 10, you have the Eternals problem. I love the idea of a couple of villains.
But imagine if the Eternals had been introduced, like, little by little throughout other films.
Right.
That would have been better.
I just don't know why you jumped to 10. I guess, like, I like it.
Because it's the 10 rings, Matt! Don't you see?
But no, yes. If you
Pepe Silva, Matt!
But you don't need 10. You don't need 7. You don't need 7 more. You've got 10 rings already. Like, give
don't you
them,
know how to count, Matt?
you've got these rings already. Just give those 10 rings to 10 people and then use the two bangles, bind them into one ring, and it will be the one that binds them. And then we have the
Get the Lord of the Rings
Marvel crossover we've always begged for. We've been talking about this for 10 years, how we want a Lord of the Rings Marvel crossover.
I want Legolas versus Hawkeye.
That's right.
More than anything.
That's right. That's it writes itself.
It's right there. It's right there.
Gimli versus Ant-Man.
Oh, my God.
The shortest of stature. You know, somebody has a sword. You know, Aragorn and... who has a sword? Aragorn versus Gamora.
Oh, my God. I was thinking Aragorn versus Captain America.
Aragorn would die so fast. Lord of the Rings, wonderful property. Great stuff. But, like, Aragorn would die at the hand of Gamora so quickly.
So fast. But, Matt.
Yeah, yeah.
The real matchup that we need from that.
Yeah.
Gandalf versus Doctor Strange.
Oh, now that is good. That is good. You see that, like, the swirly Doctor Strange thing starts to appear, you know?
Yeah.
And then you see, like...
The sling ring portal?
The sling ring sort of slowly turns into the Balrog's, like, whip hand, you know? And just, like, grabs him and, like, pulls him down, and there's a Balrog behind it. I don't know. It just reminded me of it visually.
No, I love it. Well, because there was that one thing that, like, Sinister Strange in What If turned into that looked like a Balrog.
Mm. Yeah. That's right.
Because it was like, it was his, made manifest.
Yeah, 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 totally. Ooh. All right, I dig it. I dig it. And then, do we have any flyers? And then Falcon is like chasing Falcon Captain America is like chasing Frodo and Sam on the Eagles, and like, they're like trying to get to Mount Doom, and like the Eagles are like Falcon is circling them.
The Nazgul versus Valkyrie on her Pegasus.
This is really like
this is writing itself.
It's writing itself. This really is highlighting how like there are only so many ideas. You're like, all right, we got a universe full of people. We need another one. Have we done a horse one yet? Yeah, we did a horse one already.
Yeah, we did, and it was a flying horse too. Damn it! Is there anybody that just... Oh, no. Oh, no!
Oh, no.
Legolas surfing down the stairs on Captain America's shield.
Yes! Yes! Yes, please! I feel like that's not even a thing we have to build a whole movie around. I feel like that's just a thing someone out there with visual effects skills could do. Like,
yeah, just... Or, like, a stunt person. Just somebody give me that. I don't care what medium it's in. Somebody give me that.
Just somebody with, like, you get those great edits where they put two movies together. Like, it would be pretty great. Like, the in-game final battle has a pretty similar color profile to, like, Helm's Deep. You know? Like, somebody has to have, like, done that. Or, like, yeah, that would be really good.
Oh, my God. Thanos says, rain fire! And then the bomb under Helm's Deep's wall explodes.
Yeah, man. All right.
Oh, it's perfect.
I literally don't know how we got there. That was... I don't remember.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all.
Okay, how about we move to feedback? How about we do a couple feedback before we leave, get out of here?
Okay.
All right.
KT Lisbeth.
I guess she was live tweeting the podcast as people are wont to do sometimes, but it wasn't tweeting. She was sending it on Patreon. Thank you for being a patron, KT. But she sent just a quotes from the podcast, looking like a double stuffed Oreo snack. she said this line made me laugh. That was Ashley. Who would Ashley be talking about if you had to guess there, Jeff? Oh, well, you were on the episode, weren't you?
I have slept since then.
Sorry. I'm laughing harder now because I realized my question was stupid because you were there, and now I'm realizing you still don't know, which is even funnier. Okay, so talk about Magneto. Very, very good. And then
I thought the M was for man snack.
That was also
Magneto. Magneto.
Yeah, that is basically Ashley's whole, all of her quotes are just from Magneto.
Sure.
Gambit can't unsee that. And then Ashley and fans of Magneto Thirst say, we want to see a little more, please. KT says this show does not shy away from really hard stuff. This episode showed parents dealing with a critically ill infant, and then they had to release custody of him so he could get the care he needs. Ouch. That hit me in the adoptee feels.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Finally, I can't wait to hear our queen's take on X-Men giving us a horror episode. Right. I'm so glad she got to be on this episode this week.
Absolutely.
That actually, that I guess those quotes might have been from a previous episode now that I'm thinking about it. Because she hasn't seen this week's or heard this week's yet when she's writing this. She says. Yeah, but
then she said, "Looking like a double stuffed Oreo snack."
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what's going on.
There is no timeline here. This email is from all times simultaneously.
From all times, always.
This message is from a convergent timeline.
Only 6 minutes and change. And our queen referenced her queen, Scarlet Witch. And I love how she sees the connections. Of course she sees all things connect to Scarlet Witch.
All things connect to Scarlet Witch. It's reality. Oh, no, she was talking about getting in their heads. So that wasn't even reality. Right. That was mind games.
Yeah, some mind games. And KT also says, an episode that launches 1,000 cosplays, this is something I said, there will definitely be people like Ashley that will dress like Horror Queen Jean, but if you're on a budget, you can go to a con dressed in 90s fashion and be a regular mutant kid from Xavier's school.
That's true.
It's true, it's true. Okay, love it.
You can just get like a jacket with like the X logo on it and like there you go, done.
Yeah, you're done. And just some brightly colored like Saved by the Bell looking clothing.
Yeah, just get a headband.
Yeah, just
just a bright orange headband.
Sorry, now I'm just thinking about like, okay, Saved by the Bell characters and X-Men characters. Let's do this.
Okay. MC Slater versus
Wolverine, right?
Like Wolverine, obviously. Yeah,
he's the Wolverine of the crew.
He would get destroyed.
I think see? Oh, man. I hate to say it. But I think Zach has to be the Gambit, like just a little roguish, a little nuts. But that would make Screech the Cyclops, and I don't mind it. I don't mind it at all.
Like at first, I'm like, no, yeah.
If you're gonna do it, you got to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, KT, for the feedback. I kind of read. She said, "I laughed out loud on the light rail for the final five stops of my commute at this line." Thanks, Jam, and it was
the M is for man snack.
thank you, KT. That always is nice. Okay, and then Andre Sparks says, "Hey guys, are you gonna read this one? I don't know. I'm just reading because I'm used to it, but I forgot. You normally read when you're on."
No, I'm good, man.
Okay, I'll go. Andre Sparks also wrote in, one of our patrons, said, "Hey guys, I was into the cast and I agree that it makes sense for Sam to have his own movie and shine. Bucky left him at the end of Falcon and the Winter Soldier to figure out his own stuff, so it makes sense that he wouldn't appear. But here's the fun part. You guys said it said that it would be nice for Sam to have a team. Well, what better way to introduce the new team than to have Captain America call on the other heroes? Imagine Ooh. Other heroes from around the world seeing a normal guy stand up to whoever the villain is of the movie and say they want to follow that guy into battle. Hence, we finally get this team up. And he shared a YouTube video, and it was from a cruise line, like a Disney cruise maybe, or a Marvel cruise, where they did a really pretty high budget cool video of Sam Wilson, Kamala Khan, Ant-Man, the Wasp, and Carol Danvers fighting Ultron on the cruise ship. It's kind of fun. It's actually,
oh yeah,
it's not bad.
That, oh man, that video happened a while ago.
Yeah. He says, yes, I know it was just a ride, which I think, I don't know if it was a ride or a video on a cruise ship, but I think that's a nice new team for Avengers 5. Maybe this could even be a scene from Armor Wars. What do you guys think? Can't wait to see him in action next year. Keep up the good work, Andre.
So I did not remember Bucky leaving at the end of Fatuous.
I didn't either. I feel like a bad podcaster. I'm glad you're vulnerable enough to admit it,
because makes me feel like a bad podcaster. I'm man enough to admit it, you know. I can put it out there. Like, I forgot some shit. I imagined that they are just best friends, never leave each other's sides. They're connected at the hip, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It does feel like, I mean, they've been like, because they both ended up being Cap's sidekicks for a couple of movies, they've been like in his orbit as like double sidekicks, double stuff sidekick for a while now. And like, yeah, so they've been close for a long time. And it just feel like they've been all those scenes of from Civil War with them in the car and stuff. I just love those scenes. Oh, yeah.
Can you move your seat up? No.
No. I love their banter and their silliness. But, yeah, so I had totally forgotten that he left, but but he left to go get into the hands of Val. What the heck?
I don't know, man.
That's not figuring your stuff out, Bucky.
You're doing worse, Bucky. You're going the wrong direction.
The wrong thing.
Maybe.
The wrong thing.
Maybe he is there to lend credence to the team being for, like, not redeemed, but rehabilitated bad guys.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, no, I definitely think that works. And like him being there, give them like a someone to look up to, kind of like he's been a rehab bad guy for a while now. Yeah. Well, I don't know, not even that long.
He had a redemption arc. We can all do the same thing. Aspire to be like Bucky. You remember? Be like Bucky.
A lot of them already have redemption arcs, though, too.
Perhaps.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's weird. But either way, he's getting deceived into some bad stuff. I don't like it.
I don't like it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Andre. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I actually really like that call that, like, it would be really a beautiful thing if, like, Cap, the new Cap, could do his version of the grenade scene. You know, like, oh, yeah. Sam Wilson doing something, because he's just a man, and doing something that, like, should kill him to save the world, and it rallies, you know, a group of heroes together. That would be a really cool way to introduce his character as Captain America to the wider audience.
Like, he gets kicked and they're like, why do you keep fighting? You're like, you can't win. There's no chance of you winning. And he's like, I could do this all day.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. I look forward to, it's such a hard thing to tackle. Like, how to make him Captain America in everyone's eyes, like, to erase you don't have to erase the Chris Evans from our head, but, like, it's stiff competition.
Yeah, to make it feel like it's an earned position, like, he earned the mantle.
Yeah.
You know, not just because, like, that's what the comics say has to happen, but, like, exactly. He still has to earn it, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, like, that's what Falcon Winter Soldier was, but, like, I just think they're going to have to kind of do it again for wider audiences in this movie a little bit. Like, just show us who he is on his own.
Well, he's also got to contend with everything, like, all the political fallout from Secret Invasion and everything that happened there with, like, political leaders being killed on the street.
I hope you're right. I am nervous because of the way that Marvel seems to have be lacking some of the Secret Invasion connection that seems so there. And then Brave New World moved dates and had a bunch of reshoots. And it makes me worried. They're just like, well, we're just going to pretend Secret Invasion never happened. Because, like, it sucks.
And that's kind of what the Marvels did.
Exactly. That's my point.
It sucks.
Like, so Secret Invasion was bad.
The ending of Secret Invasion was bad.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the overall, like, it had great parts, but the overall, like, as a package, it's very disappointing. But the last few moments, the political intrigue and everything of, like, the world on fire and everyone, like, everyone hating the Skrulls and the president coming out, that really interested me.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, this is great. You're really setting stuff up. Clearly, they have a goal for this story to move past here and have like a real direction. Yeah. And then, yeah, they just didn't do anything. You know, I'm scared they're just never going to pick up that thread again.
Man, and like, the state of things after that is so broad and all-encompassing that, like, you can't not reference that. Like, you can't just let that fall and die. Like, yeah, that can't die on the vine, because that would be a huge misstep. Mm-hmm. They just gotta, Matt. They just gotta.
Yeah. They just gotta. So, Kelly Kapowski.
Who?
Oh, you didn't know. I thought that was going to get a good laugh from you. But you didn't remember Kelly Kapowski's name?
I'm sorry.
Say by the Bell.
Oh, right.
It's one of the people. Okay. I was just going back to the Say by the Bell thing. I thought it was going to get a good laugh. I feel like there's people in the audience that will...
Oh, yeah. There's people in the audience that would have laughed a lot, but I just don't have the Say by the Bell knowledge. Like, we exhausted it with MC Slater and... Or AC Slater. Slater and Screech.
MC
Slater. Yeah, MC Hammer Slater.
That's a great idea for a like a DJ name.
Yeah.
It's just so close to AC Slater. Okay. All right. On the ones and twos, we got MC Slater.
He just busts out a bunch of 90s hits.
Yes. Oh my gosh, you're right. It would be a 90s party.
Yep.
And like, if you're doing like a 90s dance party, brought to you by DJ MC Slater.
Yep.
It's really good. It's really good. I like it.
That can be your DJ name.
Yeah.
Go ahead and copyright that like right now.
Yeah, I guess I have to be a 90s DJ now.
You know that would just... That would slay.
Yeah. I'm just like, there is an MC Slater.
Is there?
Well, I'm looking. I just Googled.
What MC if Slater what if you kill them and take their power?
There's someone on SoundCloud called MC Slater.
It's like Highlander. Okay.
There can be only one.
There can be only one, you guys. One MC Slater.
Challenge them to Mortal Kombat. Battle Royale.
Yeah, with cheese. Okay. We're gonna go. This is a bit of a podcast. Hey, if you're listening to this, it's Tuesday when this comes out. Tuesday night, don't miss it. We're doing our 1 year anniversary of Multiverse News. We're going to be giving away prizes. We're going to be like shouting people out. We're going to be doing a Zoom hang afterwards. It's going to be a really fun night. So come and hang out. We're going to be on youtube.com/strandedpanda starting at 7 PM Central. That's 8 Eastern. Yeah. So come hang out, and see our 1 year. If you haven't checked out Multiverse News yet, because, you know, you're a fan of the MCU cast and just haven't ventured over there. Like, it is a show we've put a ton of work into, and now we've worked the kinks out a little bit. It's a year in. We're feeling really good about it, and we'd love to have you over there,
Matt,
and come celebrate with us.
Matt, we don't kink sham around here.
That's true. That's true. We really don't. So many kinks. We probably should kink sham a little more often.
Maybe we should start.
Maybe we should start. P. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Hey, you just listened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast from Stranded Panda. I really hope you liked it. Let me just say a big thank you to all of our supporters on patreon.com/MCUcast. You are the lifeblood of our little operation here, and a huge, huge thank you to our insanely generous Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III, Lieutenant Bongo, and Jazz Viz. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can catch a video version of many of our episodes at youtube.com/strandedpanda. Love you 3000, my friends.